Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast on this Friday, July 2, as we plunge right back into that challenging text in John 20, verse 23, where Jesus said, "Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." That's a tough one, but we're working on it. And I told you on the broadcast yesterday that I think it is talking about the responsibility of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to cooperate with Christ in discerning and declaring the remission and retention of men's sins. The church doesn't have the authority to forgive sins or to retain sins, to keep men's sins from being forgiven, but the church does have the ability and the authority to discern whose sins are remitted and whose sins are retained, and also to make that declaration. In other words, to tell men, your sins are forgiven, your sins are retained. Not because the church did it, because Christ did it, God did it, the Holy Spirit did it, but the church is able to help people to know whether that has been done to them or not. The church is able to discern and declare whose sins are remitted and whose sins are retained. The church is able to discern whose sins are remitted and whose sins are retained, and is able to declare that in some way. I think that's what this is talking about. But boy, these are foreign ideas. Oh my, these are foreign ideas to our day. And so I've been taking more time with this than I originally intended. I approached the subject, I kind of raced through it, tried to give a quick understanding of it in one broadcast, realized that wasn't sufficient, probably caused more confusion than help, so I came back and did it again and did it again. Each time I come back, I'm slowing down a little bit more and digging at it, working at it a little bit harder, digging a little bit deeper, trying to lay a better foundation and try to bring you along to agree with my understanding of what this is all about. And you recall that there are three interpretations, as I understand them, and I reject the first two and accept the third. The first interpretation is that God has given to the church absolute authority to grant or deny forgiveness. The church has that right to give men absolution of their sins or to deny them that. And this is only, of course, as it's taught in our day, only possible if you go to the right church, the right institutional church, the one of which Peter, supposedly, is the first pope and those that he commissioned, that the church has authorized to do so, her representatives have the power to forgive your sins. And you must confess your sins to them, and they have the power to absolve you of your sins, because that's what Jesus said. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But as I pointed out a couple broadcasts ago, Jesus didn't say that just to Peter. He didn't even say that just to the 10 apostles. He said that to all of his disciples who had assembled in the upper room on the evening of the resurrection. He said it to all of them. He was talking to all of his disciples collectively. In other words, he was talking to the church in its earthly, local, collective existence. Not to one particular apostle, not to one particular church organization, but to the people of God as they are properly acting and interacting within the context of churches. That's a mouthful, but that's the way you have to understand this. He's talking to all of his people. All true disciples of Jesus Christ have this authority and power, but not individually. They can't go around exercising it individually. Nobody can. Nobody can. It is a collective thing as we are properly acting and interacting first with God above and then with one another in the context of the local church and are carrying out our God-given responsibilities. So I reject the first interpretation that it refers to the absolute authority given to a human church organization to grant or deny forgiveness of sins. And I reject the second interpretation as not going far enough, that he's simply talking here about the church carrying out evangelistic activity, and that as the church proclaims the message of the gospel, those who believe it have their sins forgiven, those who reject it have their sins retained. And the church can say that. It can say, if you believe the gospel, your sins will be forgiven. If you reject the gospel, your sins will be retained, which is absolutely true, and that's part of this, but I don't think it goes far enough. I think there's more to it than that. Now, in the broadcast yesterday, I walked you through a similar text in Matthew chapter 16 and saw how that is related to the authority and activity of the church. Now, in the time that remains today, we will pick up the next text, which is in Matthew chapter 18, and we'll see how far we can get in walking you through this one and showing that this also teaches basically the same thing. This is the text on confrontation and discipline and excommunication from the church. All of these have to do with the church and the church acting collectively, you see. Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now do you see right there? We're going to go on in a moment, but do you see right there how the church acting properly in this way, in essence, remits sins? You see that? Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth, well, wait a minute. If he neglect, verse 17, if he neglect to hear thee, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, you declare to him that he is no Christian. A heathen man and a publican in that day means a sinner, a man who has no claim to the pardon of God, no claim to being one of the people of God. You declare him to be a heathen and a publican outside the kingdom of God, outside the fellowship of the church. That's the whole idea here. If he doesn't respond the way a Christian ought to respond when confronted about sin, if he responds in an ungodly way, he's marking himself out as one who has never been born again by the power of God's Spirit, and therefore you excommunicate him, you put him outside the church. What have you done? You have discerned his true spiritual condition. You have declared what his true spiritual condition is. You have, in essence, told him your sins are retained. You are no Christian. You have not been born again. You have no rightful claim to call yourself a member of the church because your sins are not forgiven. They're still on you. You are retaining them. You still have them. They have not been cleansed away. And the church has discerned that and now declares that. And it's by this process of the church acting in the way that it is supposed to act. Then verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, in a sense, verse 18 is just stating in different language the same thing that was said in verse 17. You have to get all these things in context and you see how they fit together. If he neglect to hear thee, verse 17, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, you see, an individual can't do this, but the church can. If he neglect to hear the church says to him, dear sir, dear brother, dear church member, grievous charges of sin have been brought against you, and there is sufficient evidence here to make it clear that you are guilty. You must acknowledge your guilt. You must repent. But he refuses to hear the church. He neglects to hear the church. If that's the case, then what does the church do? Put him out. Let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. When you are acting this way, in accordance with the truth of God's word, and by the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit, you are discerning who is and who is not a true child of God. And therefore, you are declaring to that person whether their sins are loosed from them or bound to them. And that's what you are doing. And what you have done, if you've done this properly, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in cooperation with God Himself, having true spiritual discernment and acting according to truth, if you do that, what you've done on earth is also done in heaven. Because it's simply discerning what is true about this person, discerning what is true in heaven. If this person, by this process, demonstrates that he is no child of God, then it's evident that his sins are bound upon him in heaven. They are not loosed. You see? So, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Well, what does that have to do? Why is that in this context? Because it really is saying in essence the same thing. When the church agrees on the proper action to take regarding a person, then heaven ratifies that decision. Two of you on earth agree as touching anything, then it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. The church agrees that this person is no true Christian and ought not to be given the fellowship of the church. Well, heaven agrees. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I, Jesus Christ, will act in concert with my people, my church, when they are acting in concert with my truth. And when the church makes determinations like this about the spiritual condition of people upon earth, if they've done this properly, then they've done this accurately. They have discerned and are able to accurately declare the condition of men's souls. And heaven ratifies that. So, whosoever sins ye remit shall be remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain shall be retained. We'll take it up again, Lord willing, next week. Join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.